This is ESPN Radio.
Aaron Rodgers, he's working. He wants to play. He will be playing for the New York Jets. This is ESPN Radio coming to you live from Seaport. At least Jay is. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. You, of course, can watch us on ESPN2 and on ESPNU as well, where you can see Jay wearing the same sweatshirt that he has been in for 24 straight hours.
Hours.
Yeah. ESPN Radio is also brought to you by Progressive Insurance. So Aaron Rodgers, he is now at the helm for the New York Jets. And is that the missing piece? A lot of people think so. A lot of people think this Jets team was a Super Bowl, just a quarterback away from a Super Bowl, right? So you upgrade from Zach Wilson to Aaron Rodgers, bada bing, bada boom, they'll walk into a championship. We just saw that idea go horribly wrong with the New York Mets, Jay, where buying championships.
Hold on, time out.
Okay, time out.
In the first damn minute of the show, Amber, you ain't going to disrespect me twice and get away with it, okay? Number one, you just told the world about my sweater again. Didn't even give me a chance to reply or retort.
We get new listeners every like 15 minutes.
Yeah, so. You didn't even give me a chance to tell the story about it. You just went right into football. And then you had to take a slight at Uncle Stevie and my Mets team because just because we trade Scherzer and Justin Verlander.
Just trade? Fire sale from the Mets that they're calling a retool?
I'm frustrated with it too, but you know what? My owner will spend money. We will go out and we will attack. We will get more players, okay? It's a matter of time. Trust and believe in the process. I don't know why I just gave us the same terminology as the Philadelphia 76ers, but I guess we're going to be like the Mets of the process, okay?
Well, let's hope it doesn't take 10 years like it's taking for Philly and you guys just continuously get mounts in the second round. The process hasn't worked out for the 76ers or the Mets of late. Let's see if the process works out here for the New York Jets. Do you feel like Aaron Rodgers is that dude? Like, he's Tom Brady. You just, in Tampa, you bring Tom Brady down. That team clearly, no, I'm not sure people realized it at the time that it was going to be that sort of plug and play. But apparently they were just a quarterback with less interceptions away from a Super Bowl. Is it the same situation in New York?
No. I think there's more at stake for Aaron Rodgers. I think Tom Brady still would have been considered the GOAT, even if they didn't win one in Tampa Bay, even though Tampa Bay was already pre-cooked, pre-ready to go. It was like a turnkey house situation, right? I look at the Jets. You could say it's not as turnkey. I think a lot of players are younger. So the questions around Aaron Rodgers and mentoring, right? We've had, certain guests on the show that have came on and talked about in the past about him not being there last year throughout the summer, him going on retreats, him not working with the young wideout core, and the amount of time it takes to build that familiarity, that continuity. And also for Tom Brady, like Tom Brady came off winning a Super Bowl 2 years prior and then turn around and win one again. If you look at since going to the Super Bowl for Aaron Rodgers, he's 7-9 in the postseason, right? Mm-hmm. So I think his talent is one of those talents that is always considered to be in the upper echelon in the history of quarterbacks. He just doesn't have the resume as it relates to Super Bowl titles to compare with the greatest of greats. So the leadership aspect for Aaron Rodgers has always been to a degree at question. So watching, I think there's more at stake for Aaron Rodgers coming over to the Jets if he can get the job done for what it means for his overall legacy.
It's been a decade since Aaron Rodgers has won a Super Bowl. Now, in that sport, we've seen it. I mean, we've seen the Dan Marinos of the world have unbelievable careers where everybody agrees they're, you know, the greatest of their generation. And then don't have any Super Bowl rings to show for it. So in that sport, because of how large those rosters are and how many elements there are that go into actually winning a Super Bowl, it does happen. Mm-hmm. Is that more Aaron Rodgers' fault? There is a significant lack of postseason success. So now if you put him on this team that's loaded with talent on both sides of the ball, is it going to be a plug-and-play situation? I would typically say no. If we compare it to other sports, if we compare it to your sport in basketball, right? Even with the Miami Heat, when you see it work, it doesn't work until year two because there is a learning curve there in terms of developing that chemistry. And it's not just as easy as you guys are superstars, show up and let's do this thing. But we have seen it work in football is what's interesting. We've seen it not just with Tampa. We also saw it pretty recently with the Los Angeles Rams, where now Jared Goff had gotten them there. They were a very Super Bowl ready team, that little upgrade to Matthew Stafford, and it put them over the hump. Because of that, it gives me pause in saying that this isn't going to work for the Jets in terms of a Super Bowl ring, but we're talking about a Jets team that is in a loaded division. There's so many factors, particularly in that sport when it comes to injuries. My money would still be betting against this working out, not this betting that this is going to work out.
Well, Tampa Bay, a lot of veteran players. You made mention of an NBA team with you know, LeBron James, if you think about the Miami Heat, like D-Wade, but also Pat Riley. Like, that culture was already set. Eric Spoelstra, right? Like, you know, the whole thing about throughout training camp, you know, making sure that you ride the bike for an hour before training camp and after training camp and keeping your weight loss. Like, the culture is already set. What did we watch last year with the Jets, which is my reason for them not winning it this year? Like, I think they'll make the playoffs. I think it'll be a fight, but I don't have them winning a Super Bowl in year one like Tom Brady with Tampa Bay. Like, there was so much that was in flux last year, Amber. Like, who was the starting quarterbacks? The ups and downs, right? Like, a lot of first-year head coach and Robert Saleh going through the waves of defending his team against the media, personality traits. There still feels like there's a lot of things that are unsettled with this team that it takes a year or so to really establish what is the culture, what are the right habits, what are the right tendencies when we go through, you know, arduous times with Aaron Rodgers. How do we build through that? I just don't see it culminating to them winning a title in year one.
I agree that it's a very tall task, because the difference here between Tampa and certainly with Los Angeles and this New York team is that culture that you described, where that culture hasn't really existed with New York. I mean, obviously it hasn't existed for many years with New York, but even this past season, a 7-win Jets team that finishes last in its division couldn't even finish above the New England Patriots. And of course, a lot of that had to do with the quarterback play, but how much better can it get? And also the other competition in the AFC East continues to get better as well, particularly the Miami Dolphins. And so I could see a situation where the Jets are better, Jay. I mean, by all standards, the Jets are going to be better with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. But better doesn't necessarily mean winning a Super Bowl better, right? Better means postseason to me, yes, fine. And maybe even some semblance of postseason success. But a Super Bowl, that's a whole other thing for a team that just won 7 games last season.
But it also brings up this notion about buying a chip, buying a championship, right? Like, I go back. You can bring on additive pieces if your culture is set. Like, that is the best equation to winning a championship, right? Like bringing on one additional piece of, like, if you're a quarterback away, but that culture still feels to me like it's being established by the Jets. Like, with Tampa Bay, like, you knew what Bruce Arians was all about. Like, you knew what Byron Leftwich was about. Like, obviously that relationship with Tom Brady. Like, there was an established culture there and what they had on the defensive side of the ball. It just felt like Tom Brady was the missing piece. I still think we were watching that culture be established and young players trying to recognize what their own power and what their own weight is that they carry within this franchise. And to me, that's why it gives me a slight pause or just start talking about title for them, even though I know internally their expectation will be to win a title.
Now, it did work for Tampa, because that Bucs team with Jameis Winston was exactly a 7-win team.
Yeah.
So that was a 7-win team in Jameis Winston's final year. And remember, that was the season, I think, that he threw the 30 interceptions in addition to the 33 touchdowns, right?
30.
But the 30 interceptions. Over 5,000 yards, but 30 interceptions. So they move on from him, a 7-win team. They go from 7 wins to 11 wins and a Super Bowl title. So for them, it worked like that. We've seen it from that perspective before. The thing is, though, with that Bucs team, they were vets. They were vets around
Tom
Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were already vets when he got down there to Tampa. This New York Jets team is incredibly young. They're so young that they're innovative, though, right? And they are using some unusual tactics in order to remember their playbook, Jay. Alan Lazard, he is a wide receiver for the New York Jets. He described how Nathaniel Hackett is getting them to remember the playbook. All right.
I mean, he gets a room of grown men to make animal noises. And it may not make too much sense, but, like, it's pertaining to the play, whether it's a name, whether it's a whale, a kangaroo, a pony, a shark. You know, you'd have to sit in the meetings to hear. But he's the only person that can get grown men to do something like that. I've never experienced something like that ever in my playing career, different organizations, different coaches I've had.
So, Amber, we're going to play a game for the rest of the show. You ready? And by the way, I play this game with my kids. I played it with grown-ass men and people. I love it on car trips. It's fun. I'm going to say an animal name.
Oh, no.
And it will happen randomly for the next 3 hours of the show. And I will call people out. Oh, and you have to try to imitate the animal's sound with the name. You ready? I'll give you. Ready? Kangaroo. Go. Kangaroo.
I don't know. What sounds
don't, I don't want to hear. No. No excuses hop, in this game, Amber.
Hop. There you go. Jump.
So that's what kangaroos
sound
like.
Crisscross will make you.
They say the word jump. Jump. What is this? Cypress Hill? What's going on?
I mean, what sound does a kangaroo make?
I don't know. Give me a legitimate sound you think a kangaroo would make.
What sound does a shark make? Alan
that's what
Lizard
I'm saying. Don't,
said
don't,
in that
don't
sound
ask questions.
That,
just oh, go.
Okay.
Hey, look.
No, I don't know, Jay. What you have to do it now. But I gave
No. I'm the one that brought this up.
I haven't been to Australia. For all I know, they're out here with, you know, jump. I mean, it's entirely possible. I've never seen one in person.
Jump.
Did you know kangaroos can't hop backwards?
Wow, that's weird. Like, what they can only go forward?
So they make soft clicking noises.
And they make clicking noises.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, Nunito.
Yeah.
My kangaroo.
Nunito, you ready? A shark. Go.
I got you. Dummy.
Oh my God.
Animals cannot speak English. And when do animals say, I got you?
Are those sharks?
You went down the same
sharks
path
on the
me.
Beach.
I feel better about it now.
I got you. What the hell?
Why
do you say it like that, though? Like mid-bite, though.
I got you. What
Jay,
the hell is
a
that?
Hyena. Go.
I feel like what type of dolphins you've been around, man.
I don't know, man. That's a killer dolphin. I feel
like we might hit on the wrong animal and someone might be canceled. So yeah. Let's go to break.
Let's do that. Coming up next, Aaron Rodgers. Is he going to help the Jets buy a championship? More animal sounds, maybe even your phone calls.
Amber,
we'll do some sports.
A baby turtle. What? You sounded nervous. What?
What?
Nervous baby turtle? Sense. Like, is it running from the shore to the beach?
What?
Is it?
Can you
give
me some easy ones, like a dog? What are we? The heck? Go to break.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is ESPN Radio.
Amber Wilson, Jay Williams hanging out with you. You can watch us on ESPN2 and ESPNU. You can also listen to us, of course, on ESPN Radio, which is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. But it's not just Amber and Jay. It's also Damian. Damian Woody in studio with
Big
Jay
Wood.
At the Seaport. Mm. Damian, does Jay smell? Because he's been wearing the same clothes for 24 straight hours, including
so negative.
On air yesterday on this show.
Listen, it...
Is it Jay, fresh in there, Damian?
Yeah. The
I feel
vibe,
a little bad
yeah,
for you right
smell,
now, to be honest.
The vibes are immaculate.
There you go. Okay.
The smell is good. Like, Jay is my guy.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
I would never hate on my guy.
You see how she tried to set us up?
You know what? It's too early in the morning for all of
that's
that.
What I'm saying, baby.
Why is she hating on you?
I don't know. It's a lot of just negativity coming from Amber this morning. It's not the kind of energy I want to start my
right,
day with.
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
By the way, you're looking fresh and clean, man. You just come. You haven't gotten
bro,
the shave.
Gotten a haircut. I'm like still on vacation. Vacation mode and everything, but I'm feeling good. Like, we got ball tonight. We got an actual game tonight. So I'm good. I'm ready.
Big boy, I got to ask you, because Amber and I kind of disagree on this, but I need to hear your real take on how you would react. So there was a video that went viral yesterday of Trayvon Diggs and Dak Prescott. Have you seen this video?
What, they were like talking trash to each other?
Pretty much where Trayvon Diggs called him a beep, beep, the B word, right, ass to his face.
Yeah.
Now, I like Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me, and I've talked to Amber about this, that if another grown-ass man in practice or wherever we are calls me that word to my face, something's about to happen. Because I don't know what's about to happen, but you're about to see a new side of me, a different reaction. And the fact that Dak didn't react, kind of ran the other way and softly lobbed the ball. Am I reading too much into it? If some other grown man called you that to your face on the field, what would that mean to you?
I would think. No, I see. Me personally, Jay, okay. I live for that.
Yes.
Like, I live for the trash talk. I love that. It's feeding my energy when stuff like that happens. I think that Dak was talking trash during practice, too.
Okay.
Like, they have been woofing all practice long, apparently, from the clips I saw on what they call X now.
Okay,
Yeah, so, but I also think that Dak is smart. Like, you don't want things to escalate. You do something stupid, and then you possibly get yourself injured or whatever. But I love the trash talking. I like that. I want it because it's competitive. To me, it makes each other better.
CJ, so, you know what that's spoken like? That's spoken like a dude who won a couple Super Bowls and played football, not basketball. That's what that's spoken like. Damian Woody. He knows how to handle a word, Jay. Look at that.
I'm showing D Wood the video right now. So that's what happens right there. And then the soft little lob. So all I'm saying, Big Wood, like, and I know we do this in basketball. I know I'm a big fan of the Hold Me Back crew.
So wait a minute. So what kind of smoke are you advocating for Dak? What kind of reaction did you want Dak to have?
I just know I talk a lot of trash to a lot of people. Trash goes only so far before I'm like, you're gonna get some kind of reaction from me.
Right. Okay.
You ain't gonna call me that.
Right.
And then just casually glide away without me making sure that your ass recognizes that you ain't calling me that.
Yeah, Jay wants Dak to turn into Draymond Green all of a sudden.
No, Amber, but it does make me question sometimes, like, do we ever think through trash talking, one of his teammates and Jalen Hurts would call him that? Like, there are certain people that you just like, all right, like, we could trash talk all day, D-Wood. Like, there's certain things I ain't going to cross out because I know you.
Right.
I know you.
Do you think there's a lack of respect there that because of what he said, like, he wouldn't try that with someone else? Is that what you're saying?
I do.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I think there's certain people, you ain't saying certain things to certain people.
Right.
I know what time it's going to be, even if we trash talking or not, even if we boys or not.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. Maybe I am reading too much into it, but I think personality traits, like, you won championships. There's certain things that, like, you know people, you read into things. I just don't know. Did you win a championship? Did any of your teammates ever call you that? Or so you saw somebody call Tom that?
No.
That's all I'm asking.
You don't want the smoke.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But you did get all the trash talking and the fighting at training camp, right? Like, why is everybody so heated all the time at training camp in particular, Damian?
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know why today, because training camp is nowhere near what it was like when I first came into the league. But I know, like, when I was in the league, we had real two-a-day practice, and it would be hot, and you'd be in the padded practices, and you'd be in the dog days of training camp. I actually have a scar on my hand, my right hand. Jay can see it.
Yeah, that's a legit scar, too.
It comes from, it was a fight. It was a fight in training camp. I threw a punch, which was a huge no-no. You never throw a punch, and I hit a guy in his helmet, and I just felt like my hand explode. I broke, like, multiple bones, and I missed all of training camp. Coach was hot.
What'd he say to you? What happened?
He was hot. He was just like, how could you do this? Like, you're one of my most important players, and now I had to go down to Alabama to see Dr. Andrews and get my hand fixed, and I miss all the training camp.
That's what Jay wants Dak to do.
Is that the third? Stop. Is that the third metacarpal?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, but what happened? Like, what got you to that point, Big Wood?
Oh.
I need details.
Oh, we were like, it was like a run blocking drill, and then I went a little bit past the whistle,
Yeah.
And then I turned around, and my man pushed me in the back. And it was just one of those days where, you know, it was hot. You know, people were tired of hitting each other.
You don't push nobody in the back while they walk away.
And I swung without even looking. Mm. And I hit him. I hit the player right in his helmet.
You see, Amber? My hand. You see, Amber? You see what happens?
Yeah.
You see what happens?
That's what you want. That's what you want, Dak.
I know. I'm not advocating for Dak to throw punches, Amber.
So you have to go to Dr. Andrews. I mean, it seems like a terrible idea. A good idea, though. Damian mentioned the Hall of Fame game tonight. You've got the Jets and the Browns. So, Damian, I want to talk about these two teams for a second, because these are two quarterbacks that feel like they have a lot of pressure. If I asked you which one has more pressure in Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers, who I doubt we're seeing much tonight, but in terms of the season, which guy has more pressure?
Well, I mean, when you trade for Aaron Rodgers, the goal is a Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the goal. Like, That's what our expectations are with the Jets. But I will also say this about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's last year in Houston, Deshaun Watson was a top five quarterback. I don't know if people really understand like how good Deshaun Watson was before all the off-the-field stuff came about in the suspension, subsequent suspension. So I think it's imperative for him to kind of bounce back. I don't know if he's going to be top five, but he needs to be like a top quarterback. Dude, you're getting paid $230 million guaranteed. Like, I need some return on that.
What do you think the most important aspect of him getting back to that caliber will be within the offense this season?
Well, I think just the fact that he's participating. He was able to go through a whole offseason program. He's in training camp. I've always said you can't get better at playing, get better at football, but by playing the game of football. Mm. So now he's getting all these reps. And, you know, when you've had like basically a 2-year hiatus, you're going to struggle. So I think now is the perfect time for him to really show like, yeah, y'all forgot about me, but I'm still that dude out here on the football field.
Mm.
Some people have him, Deshaun Watson, as the player who's going to take the biggest leap this season because simply we've forgotten where he was back in 2019. Is there another player you'd have on that list, Damian, as a dude that you think is just going to have a breakout season, look very different than he did last season?
I think Russ, because the only place you can go is up. After that fiasco.
It was that low?
It was that low, bro. Like if I'm a guy that's buying stock, you always want to buy stock low. I'm buying it on Russ because I think that Sean Payton is going to bring in that structure, that culture that's going to get the most out of Russell Wilson. I don't know if he's going to be prime Russ, but my expectation is he's going to be a lot better than what we saw last year.
Real quick before I let you go, Alan Lazard for the Jets was talking about Nathaniel Hackett the other day, was saying, you know, they're play calling, they're doing a lot of imitation of animals. So he's like, Nathaniel Hackett, the smile on your face.
Okay.
You know, he says, like, hey, kangaroo, and you got to make the sound of a kangaroo. So we're playing this little silly game where we name an animal and you have to make the sound.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
A baby seal.
I don't even know what a seal sounds like.
It's, no excuses, Bigwood. He's got to make the sound.
A baby seal?
A baby seal.
Just beep it out. Like, what the hell am I doing? Trying to make a baby seal sound.
That's Damian Woody.
Woody. Say that joint again, yo.
I'm crying.
You see at Damian face? Woody. What that's how you find more of that on social media.
Oh, man. Y'all, thanks, y'all good, man. Y'all stay
I appreciate
easy.
You, dog. Yeah. Don't, y'all hear me? Don't nobody push Big Wood in the back now, okay? Y'all going to learn today.
Coming up next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, will Mac Jones be the first quarterback benched this season? We'll get into it. You can also listen to us on the ESPN app.
Skoda!
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash.
With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is ESPN Radio.
Well, Patriots fans might need to relax if Mac Jones doesn't pan out for this New England team. Amber Wilson, Jay Williams, hanging out with you. Find him at Real Jay Williams. Find me as well at Amber W Sports. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. So the question is, as we approach week 17, I think everybody believes Mac is probably the starter at the beginning of the season for the New England Patriots, but is that sustainable? Is he going to be the starter, Jay, towards the end of the season? Bill Belichick is noncommittal about him being the starter at any point. Bill Belichick, noncommittal, not giving us information? Shocking. That's crazy. I've never heard such a thing. Here's Bill.
He said, we'll give them a chance to compete and see how it goes. Is that implying that the quarterback job is kind of open for competition during camp?
Everybody's out here competing. It's all 90 guys. Yeah, that's what we're all here for. Just go out and compete.
So Mac Jones isn't necessarily your
everybody's out here competing. Like, everybody's out here competing. That's what everybody's doing.
Oh, that act was so much cuter when they were winning, wasn't it?
By the way, Amber, if Bill Belichick was coaching the damn Toon Squad and it was the offseason, he wouldn't commit to Michael Jordan over Tweety Bird at the two spot. Okay? Like, this is who Bill Belichick is. By the way, there's a reason why Bill O'Brien was brought in, right? Like, come on. It's everybody knows that Mac Jones, and you hear all this stuff about his relationship with Robert Kraft, they are committed to Mac Jones. They got him at the spot in the draft for that reason in particular. Now, I like Bailey Zappi. I think he is talented. But you brought in Bill O'Brien to give Mac Jones the best opportunity to win, especially after going through what we saw in that travesty, the chaos from last year with Patricia and with Joe Judge, who, you know, the quarterback coach. Who is the quarterback coach? Where is their accountability? We watched Mac Jones blow up on the sideline. Obviously, their relationship is somewhat fragile. Mac Jones addressed this the other day where he came back and said, hey, look, I'm ready to start a new leaf. Like, this is one of your top draft picks talking about last year. Like, I had to start over. Like, there's a reason why you're going about doing it the way you are. That's why I think there's so much on the line this year for Bill Belichick and how he continues to mold the young talent of a guy like Mac Jones that he took so high in the draft.
I don't know Mac Jones. I don't know what works for him in terms of motivation or in terms of coaching, right? What I do know is this act from Bill Belichick, because we've seen it time and time and time again. If he is doing it specific to his quarterback, because Mac is one of those guys who needs to feel like somebody's coming at all times and needs to have that chip and needs to have the competition in order to work his hardest on and off the field, then fine. But I feel like this is just Bill being Bill, right? Because the reality is, at training camp so far, Jay, all the reports out of camp are that Mac Jones is getting the reps with the starters. Mac Jones, day six, training camp. He can be seen working out with Juju Smith-Schuster, Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki. Those other guys in Bailey Zappi and McSorley, they're over there working out with the reserves. What does that indicate? That indicates Mac Jones is your starter, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And so what does it do, not telling us, the media, that Mac Jones is your starter, when we're all sitting there and we're all watching Mac Jones be your starter, Bill? It's like when Bill wouldn't tell us who the OC was last season, right? Oh, I don't know who my coordinators are. It's anybody's job. We're all out here competing, all 90 of us. Stupid.
Here's my problem with it, though, Amber. You ready? And look, I'm not debating on whether Bill Belichick is the greatest coach to ever coach. I've been lucky enough to be around some incredible coaches, Greg Popovich, Michael Krzyzewski. The thing I've seen about those guys is that the way they coach constantly evolves. It changes. The things that Michael Krzyzewski did 10 years ago are not the same things that he did a year before he retired. Right. Same with Greg Popovich. You don't think he has to change up the style and how he's going to individually coach their top draft pick this year in Victor Wembanyama? So for me, like, I question that sometimes around Bill. And also, regardless of whether you agree or disagree with it, I've heard constantly from NFL players about the sensitivity levels of quarterbacks. There's a reason why Tom Brady left the Patriots to go to the Bucks. Right? About, once again, changing styles and ways. What do we see from Sean Payton? Sean Payton, some people call it extreme, but he went to a certain point to openly acknowledge the faults of another offensive coordinator who's not even on his team, who is, by the way, on a different coast to protect the fragility of his own quarterback and his own team. So there's something about a coach who has a history of doing exactly what you just made mention of, Amber, not being committed to a player. Can you imagine how much that would empower Mac Jones if Bill Belichick came out and said, this is Mac Jones's team.
Right.
We are on board. Think about what that does for the psyche of a young quarterback to hear a legendary coach, the greatest of all time, say, this is yours. I'm giving you the keys. And by the way, I know in year one, you took us to the playoffs with the legit offensive coordinator. I know that I fumbled the bag in year two, and now I'm making up for my mistakes. Like, something about that is what I want to see from Bill. And sometimes this leads me to question some of the style or some of the tactics. I'm like, isn't that old, Bill? Haven't we been down this road before?
Going the route of we believe in you. That's why we drafted you. We believe in you. We believe Mac Jones will return back to rookie season form and even build on top of that in a year when he went to a Pro Bowl as an alternate. That feels like the better direction to take here, frankly, with this Mac Jones generation. I don't know, but you mentioned there how Pop is able to change over the years, his coaching style. It's one of the most impressive things I find about these older coaches, because how hard does it have to be, right? I mean, it's got to be so hard for these guys that are Pop's age and Bill Belichick's age and the guys that have been doing it over decades and decades and quite literally over the course of changing generations. That's got to be bizarre to figure out the next way to reach the next generation, because the way that you reach Gen Zers isn't probably the same as the way that you reach millennials and whomever else is involved in that conversation. I agree with you. I don't know if Bill's part of that club of coaches that at 71 years old can continue to adapt in that regard. And if I'm 71 years old, I don't know if I want to adapt, right? I mean, it's why a lot of people hang it up around that age and go off into retirement. I could understand the desire not being there. In other words, to try to find a new way to relate to these kids or a new way to coach them. I wouldn't blame him for that at all. To me, it doesn't take away what Bill did for all those decades or his greatness. But the question is he able to do it moving forward? And if he can't get the most out of Mac Jones, is it a Mac Jones problem or is it still somewhat of a coaching problem? Certainly Bill O'Brien will help the conversation because I think we all believe that's a huge upgrade at OC. But I don't know if it alleviates the pressure or all of the pressure anyways from Belichick.
Now, I don't know, Amber. I mean, maybe we'll see a completely different Mac Jones this season under Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. But there were times I found myself watching games last year where Billy Zappi looks different. It just, you know, we talk a lot about the way certain players move, you know, the confidence in which they play. And I'm not saying that Mac doesn't have the confidence level, but the way Bailey Zappi is able to get out of harm's way, it looks different.
Like, yeah, I mean, there was times last season that Zappi looked better, easily better, and more comfortable in that offense as Jones. So we'll see how it looks this season. I mean, it hits different. The attitude, the Bill Belichick, not giving us anything, not giving the media anything. It hits different when they're losing, man, right? When they're at the bottom of that division, it slaps so differently than it did with Tom Brady when they were at the top of that division. Coming up next here on ESPN Radio and ESPNU, how does Jay feel about his favorite team not only punting on this season, but seemingly punting on next season as well?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is ESPN Radio.
Jay, you heard that, right?
Yes.
It's just a repurposing, buddy. It's just a repurposing of your team, the New York Mets. It's not a fire sale. Sure, it looks like it because, you know, they traded away all their best players. But it's a repurposing, Jay. It's fine.
Fine, Amber, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, I'm dedicated. I'm committed to my team. I'm not going anywhere. Through thick and thin, there's obviously a little bit more thick than thin here. I don't even know what that means, if it even made sense, but it felt right. And we're gonna fight through it. That's where we are in life.
Yeah, you sound really motivated. Well,
there's a lot going on, right? I got Harry Douglas still texting me about his Braves. And there's a lot of trash talking. I lost a bottle of tequila to him last year.
There's really no point in trash talking. Like, Harry won.
Harry doesn't even text me. Harry doesn't even text me stuff about the Braves. Harry just like, hey. And I'm like, if you don't leave me alone, don't talk to me. Don't say hey. Hey, Jay.
Maybe he's just checking in on his friends. You know, he's just checking in, making sure you're okay.
Yeah, see, that's mean. That's like your dirty sweater jokes to start the show. You know, like those are slights.
Those aren't jokes personally. First of all, those are facts.
I take it personally. That's how I'm built. You know, we had Damian Woody. He's like, yeah, you push me in the back, I'm going to throw a punch, I'm going to break my hand. Yeah, that's who I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not there, so I'm safe. I'm at a very safe distance down here in Florida. I feel very comfortable insulting your sweater this morning. Very, very comfortable. And it's also, I feel very comfortable insulting the New York Mets because this is a colossal failure, a historic failure. Now, I will say this, in fairness to you and to all Mets fans, as funny as this is for those of us who are not Mets fans, I would feel encouraged if I was you by having an owner that's willing to spend the money. And I know, yes, you're willing to spend all the money in the world, highest payroll in MLB history, and it doesn't work out. And that's really funny to laugh at. But from a macro perspective, the dude's willing to do whatever it takes. And what I will say also is I actually kind of like the about face halfway through the season where as we approach the trade deadline, it's like, okay, this isn't working. Because what they could have done, Jay, is they could have just kept the plan in place and just ran it back next year and just hoped that this year was an anomaly. They could have done that. And instead, they decided, you know what? We are going to cut our losses and we're going to change course. And I feel like that's encouraging as a fan to just know that they are willing to do whatever it takes, even if it doesn't work out the first time.
Well, look, I can say this because I personally go to games. Like, Steve Cohen is one of these guys. He's not like a passive owner. Like, he's in his box for every game. Like, he is adamantly watching each and every at-bat. Like, he's watching all the details. He's talking to the general manager. He's talking to Billy all the time. So he is passionate about it. And, you know, we got into a little bit of a spat with our own Pat Costello here in the show. Because for me, I like people that are willing to say, you know what, it's time to pivot. I made a mistake. Like, we put our eggs in this basket. It didn't work. And I own it. Obviously, he called like a press conference in the middle of the season, right before the trade deadline. It's like, if I don't see changes, then we're going to make moves, right? Now, Max Scherzer came out and was like, yeah, Brass has some answers to me about certain things. Oh, we do? Okay, bye. Justin Verlander, I get it, back to Houston. You get, you know, quality assets in return for that. I much rather have somebody that is willing to spend in the market and can adjust. That's what Steve Cohen does for a living, Amber. He watches the market. Oh, okay, like I had a position here on this. It didn't work out. Great. I have to pivot. I have to change. I'm going to change my position 3 or 4 times throughout the course of the day. Guess what? I walked away a winner. Like, that's what people do. That's what successful people do. You change, you pivot, you move on to the next, and you see how that works out. If it doesn't work, you keep moving. And that's who Steve Cohen is.
That it seems like that's who Steve Cohen is, but you can't ignore the fact that the Mets now, without Scherzer, without Verlander, they're not going to look very good in 2024. Here is the Mets owner on what the expectations should be for this team next season.
I think the expectations were really high this year, and my guess is next year will be a lot lower. But I can't speak to what's going to happen in the offseason. I mean, there may be opportunity. I'm opportunistic, okay? I mean, I don't want to roll a team out there that we're going to be embarrassed by, but but we also know that, you know, spending a fortune, you know, everyone says I spent a lot of money and other teams did too, doesn't guarantee you a trip to the playoffs.
He's spent a lot of money. He's spent a lot of money, by the way, to get rid of these guys, too.
I mean,
Mets eating, what, $35 million of Verlander's salary this season?
He tipped his hand. He told everybody. Like, here's what I like. I think earlier with Steve, I heard a lot more of a fan talking, more so than an owner. To me, like, it's felt like this is the owner, Steve Cohen. Like, I'll read you verbatim what he said. You know, on June 28th, all is not lost, but it's getting late. I'm preparing my management team for all possibilities. If they don't get better, we have decisions to make at the trade deadline. And 35 days later, okay, like literally, he said, nobody listened to me. If you're not willing to listen, if we don't see changes in how we're playing, I'm going to make moves. And by the way, I told you so. I told you so. This is not somebody that's thinking with their heart, and I'm a passionate fan, and we're going to run it back. And no, he's thinking about it economically, and he's thinking about it rationally. And that's what you want from an owner.
Scherzer had a year and a half left on his deal at $43.3 million per year. I mean, his performance was tracking to be worth about one third of that, right? And so the Rangers get him for, you know, $22.5 million. Like, for what they're getting, it's more reasonable. For what the Mets had, you can understand why Steve Cohen was so upset with these guys. And he's putting there, with those comments you just read, Jay, the onus on the players, the blame on the players. What he's not doing is putting the blame on his manager. Now, maybe that's just a tactic right now. His manager's still there. Those players aren't. But Steve Cohen seems to be blaming the players for their performance or lack thereof their performance. He tried to warn them. They didn't play better. If you don't play better, even though I just had the highest role in baseball, highest payroll in baseball history, I will break this thing down 4 months later if I have to. That's the type of standard I'm setting here in New York for the New York Mets.
I mean, look, it's pretty apparent and that there is a lot of pressure on Billy Epler to make a lot of things happen here, right? Like, I think everybody within those reins really likes Buck Showalter and what he brings to the table. But, like, there's pressure on Billy to make things happen here when you have an owner that is worth $20 billion and willing to spend exorbitant amounts of money in order to get you the talent, right? So the question is, you know, is Billy the guy? I'm not sure he is, and I love Billy. I think there's going to be a lot of bigger decisions to make coming this offseason about the future manager of this team.
But none of these decisions are made without Steve Cohen, right? He is the owner of that team. He's a very, very active owner. Here is Steve Cohen on his ownership.
Here's the final word on what happens, right?
Yeah.
You take the recommendations.
Yeah, take the I can turn it down if I want.
Yeah.
Okay, I own the club, right?
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
I don't think we forgot that, Steve. Don't forget that. I own the club. He's the final word. He's the final say. In other sports, sometimes we hate this, right? Like the Jerry Jones of the world. It's easy to talk smack about it. I don't hate it because, like you said earlier, Jay, it is an owner who is not just fully invested from a financial perspective, like all of these owners are, but he's fully invested from a fan perspective as well. He's there. He's at every game. He cares about this club.
And, you know, look, I'll say this about Billy Epler. I mean, given the situation at the trade deadline, I think he'd made some great moves, right? We can go into that a little bit deeper later. But this is going to be a roller coaster ride, especially when you have somebody that is an active participant. And I much rather, Amber, at the end of the day, I much rather have an active owner than somebody who's passive and just says, oh, all right, you guys just keep doing whatever you want to do.
They're aggressively buying prospect value there. They're going to have to find some way to shore up those holes in their rotation for next season. They will be in the free agent market next season.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.